This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
One last time for the three-man crew together here on this Tuesday afternoon, 2:01 on the clock. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. My guys, it's been a little bit of time. How's everybody doing?
Awesome, Tony Gwynn Jr. It's great to see you, and goodbye all at the same time.
Right.
We know this is your last stop in the studio before you head out for another great baseball season. But, yeah, we had a pretty good week last week. Scraby and I muddled through, and I hope you got a little rest, because I don't think you're going to get much rest from here on out.
No, it's going to be full steam ahead starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I will say I was very happy, as I said on my last few free days as a human being, to see that you guys actually had something to talk about last week. I was very happy for you guys as I saw the news break. I got to, participate on the Connor Joe signing. I missed out on Nick Pivetta, obviously, being a big time signing for the Padres. I missed out on Jay Hay. That was the same night as Connor Joe. We just were off the air. I think, Scraby, you got a piece of that one on your show, didn't you?
Or was that even after your show?
That was Nick Pivetta, but it was like 8 o'clock that the Jason Hayward came down.
Yeah, and then we're missing one. Oh.
Billy Gurriel?
No. Well, that I was getting to that one, the lefty that the Padres signed.
Kyle Hart.
Kyle Hart. So I was happy that you guys had something to talk about. And then obviously, I think when did the Gurriel go down? Yesterday? Last night?
I think either last night or this morning.
Okay. Yeah, you were at Gurriel. So much so, I've already seen a clip of him taking Michael King deep in the backfield. So,
wait. Taking Michael King deep?
Yeah, yeah. Looked like a breaking ball, but nonetheless, homer for Gurriel, his first seemingly day in a Padre uniform.
He's a professional hitter.
He is.
Is he over 40?
He's 40. 40.
Yeah, but he can still swing it probably, so I think he's another legit guy. I before we move along too far, I did have a little bone to pick with you, because you picked a bone with me.
Ah, yes.
And it had to do with the now infamous Pivetta tweet, which, like most of the people who read it, Tony Gwynn Jr., you did not catch the fact that the first letter of each of those 8 sentences in that tweet spelled Pivetta down the side. And you also...
I'm going to send him the tweet.
Send him the tweet so he can look at it again. But you also mistook one of my sentences. And I said, I should have known. And your response basically was, you would have known if you would have listened to me.
That's true.
Basically.
That's true.
I should have known because I needed something that started with an I. But I was also I was actually on your side. We as a show had said, wait till the off season's over before you go into total panic mode.
I just sent it.
And so I was trying to remind everybody with that tweet that it would have been better for all of us, better served if we would have waited till the end. But you got a little,
I got a little
dig in, and that's okay.
You said, but just listen next time.
Yeah, right.
Fred.
Just listen to me.
I remember
if you listen to me, you wouldn't be worried about it
and being like, "Wow, Tony taking shots."
Yeah,
we did a whole segment on you taking shots.
I didn't take that. I'm sorry that you took that as me taking a shot. I wasn't.
That's
I thought that was just regular. Banter between the three.
Did you notice his little haiku, though?
I didn't. Okay. I'm not even
Nobody
lie.
Noticed it. As a matter of fact, Scraby didn't notice it. I believe there was, and somebody even wrote back on that tweet, "Your grammar is terrible." I'm like, well, it's not meant to be perfect. The idea was for it to line up the way it did.
The reason
I think there was
that.
One Friar somebody tweeted, "It's amazing how many people didn't get this." So I appreciated that tweet.
Sorry that I'm not genius like you, Friar person.
You know, evidently not.
The reason that I'm saying I'm not a genius like that Friar person.
What I was going to say was that's what I get for, like, reading, like, pieces of the tweet.
Tony, no one ever expected for him to spell out Pivetta. And the reason that he did that is because Scott Miller brought it up on the air that one of his last final articles was like that. What did you spell out, Chris?
My last article at the LA Times, the first letter of each paragraph spelled out my last story. It was just a message to myself because nobody noticed it. But so anyway, I did the Pivetta one it got some reaction. But most of it was like, what are you doing? You can't talk.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, nobody saw it. And that's why.
I said your tweet was too smart. You needed to guide us in the direction
right.
of looking at the first
right.
letter.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. But I had never completely given up hope.
I know you
in
had.
AJ Preller. There's no way I had. Maybe some, but not us.
I honestly thought when you tweeted that you were like poking fun at, you know, the kind of the craziness that it had
right.
been going on, like including yourself. I know for a fact that during our show, all of us have said, let's chill, let's wait to see what happens. Probably when spring training gets going, we'll start to see something. That ended up being the case. And listen, I think all of the moves, I remember the scuttle, right? There was a lot of talk about Connor Joe when we had that, when he signed and we had the conversation and, kind of understanding what type of role he's going to play. I think for the roles that everybody is going to play that recently signed, I think there have potential to be great fits there, which is really, I think all the Padres are really asking for, is for those pieces to fit as well as possible. Will that happen? I think time will tell, but I certainly like the prospects of all the signings.
We remind everybody that the Padres came into this season, even without the recent signings in the last week. Let's go back before they had Connor Joe and Jason Hayward and Gurriel and everything that they've added here, that they still had a quality squad of superstars. What they needed was to fill in some pieces in and around those guys. I think AJ's done a pretty good job of it. Pivetta was the one expense they chose to make. And, you know, if he pitches like the analytic people tell you he can pitch, Tony, we're in great shape.
If I'm not mistaken.
Because everybody says he's the greatest, you know, got the greatest stuff and this, that, and the other. His results have not been as good as those analytics would suggest, but a lot of guys get with Ruben Niebla, and they make a little cross over the line there. So.
Here's the 10,000-foot view argument on Nick Pivetta. He's got a career ERA that's close to 5. And so
it's not that close to 5.
His isn't it 4.7?
I think, well, let's look. While we're arguing.
Yes, while we're arguing.
Or discussing.
Padres played Boston in July last year. Is that when we went? Because I'm pretty sure Pivetta pitched in that series.
Yeah, 4.76 career. You're right, Scrabe. It's a little higher than you would like to see.
So that's the main argument, Tony.
Well,
that his numbers in the past have been a little high.
Well, an eight-year sample that says 4.76 tells me that he's got incredible stuff. You look at some of his appearances last year, Tony.
He got torched by the Padres, actually.
Four innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. Yeah.
But look at some of his other ones, 7 innings, 1 hit, 10 Ks. This guy's capable of that, too.
What I do remember about that game is the Padres, they wore him down. Like, they got to that fifth, and they had an explosive inning. I think they batted around in that fifth inning. Prior to that, he really was going well. He had given up three hits to that point, and then that fifth inning came, and the Padres had seen a lot of pitches that game from him earlier. He ended up throwing 75 in the four innings of work.
Scored 9 runs in that fifth inning.
Right, and I don't know that all those were his. I think he gave up 5, and then one of their guys in the bullpen came up and gave him the rest. But I remember thinking, man, he's throwing the ball well, and then it was like the Padres just did what they started doing in the second half of that season, which is start wearing them down.
It was the very next outing in Miami that he went 7 innings, 1 hit, 10 Ks.
Right.
Run, 6 innings the next time, 10 Ks. So, look, he's obviously, and I mentioned it to Scraby last week, 20 of his 27 appearances last year, 3 runs or fewer. So that, to me, is a number 4 starter. It's somebody that is consistently keeping you in the game, giving you a chance to win. And despite the fact that he himself was 6-12, the Red Sox were 14-13 when he pitched, which tells me that he keeps them in the game, keeps you in the game, gives you a chance to win the game. And I think that's all you can ask for a 4 starter. And if Ruben Niebla, you know, is able to tame some of that stuff that he has, he could be the next, who knows, Michael King or, you know, you don't know. He's obviously, according to everybody I've read, off the charts with the stuff he's got, Tony. So let's see.
Yeah,
I hope it works.
Listen, I think, you know, it's exactly, you know, you can, I think you got to highlight the creativity in what we've seen from AJ too, whether it's Michael King earlier, getting him to kind of free up some space with the way he structured this deal, to Nick Pivetta's deal. Being able to kind of push, I guess, kick the can down the road, if you will, in terms of when that salary starts to actually hit in order to get him on this roster for this year. And so I would expect to continue to see.
Did they defer money?
No. So
just making sure. I don't want to hear the word defer in Scraby's presence.
No, but that's Alex Bregman saying. Deferred a little
all
bit.
All right.
A little bit.
Let's keep it on our club for now.
The word defer is just.
Are you surprised that they, because my immediate thought, because I broke the news here on 97.3 The Fan on the Scraby
Show. Scraby's taking all credit.
I think you told us that already.
He read the report.
Yes, which is breaking news to people. It's not. I didn't claim that I was breaking the news. Anyway.
Hey, it's all good.
Anyway, the first thought I had was, wow, they spent some money.
Yeah,
like that didn't seem like it was going to happen. I thought they were going to spend negative $10 million.
Everybody was shocked
what
by
is
that.
It, $3 million signing bonus,
$3 million plus a $1 million base, so $4 million this year, and then overall it's 4 for $55 million.
So, but it holds
with opt outs.
It holds to what we have been kind of surmising to this point, which is that for the 2025 season, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. I mean, he took $4 million basically in year one, if you add the signing bonus, in order to get to the big boost in 26, where the Padres have more space to kind of do that, clearly. And so I think for now, this is the Padres will go as is. Maybe I add around the edges, but I do think there could be a...
You got one more move, you think?
I do think there could be an expiration date in terms of they're going to see how this plays out until the break, you know, and then kind of go from there. Where are the Padres at? How are they playing? Who's doing well? And that could determine what happens from that point on.
I'm, you know, other than a trade, I think that we could almost name the 26-man opening day roster right now. It's pretty close.
All right, 220. You're going to do that.
I will.
220.
Oh, challenge accepted. Wow.
Yes, he did. And since you know we're at 213, we might.
Right, no, we got to get going.
We got to get to the break.
Oh. He has it written down in his microscopic handwriting.
He does have to spoil his handwriting.
Why do you have to make fun of every little thing I do?
I didn't make fun of it. I just said it. I pointed out a fact.
You said microscopic. You
is that microscopic?
It's small, but you threw a little needle in there.
This is how we're starting the week, guys.
Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we are underway here. 2:19 is the time. This is Gwen and Chris, or
Jen and Chris.
Jen and Chris.
Yeah.
If you go by what Scraby typed out earlier.
Earlier, yeah. It's still on there.
On the YouTube.
It's going to be on there for the next...
I'm never going to change it, man.
For the next 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Now, what are you looking at?
YouTube title. Is G-Y-N-N and Chris.
Yes, it is. Up at the top. Very good.
Jen and Chris.
I type these things out every day, and I usually check, and I didn't check today.
Tony's back, and spring training is in full swing. That's Tony Jin.
Tony Jin, yes. Today it's Tony Jin.
He's back. All right. A couple of quick things here, and then I'm going to just give you the Padres roster. So if you want to write it down, you know, you might as well know it. What are we, a month before the season? When's the first game against Atlanta? March 27th?
8th.
28th. All right, so 1 month, 10 days.
Seventh.
1 month, 9 days before the first game, I'm giving you the 26-man opening day roster. We'll see how close I get.
Are you writing this now, Scrape? Do we need to?
Scrapey's not going to write it.
He's already got it.
I have it written down, but you
huge writing.
Yeah,
over
but Scrapey can't read this. I'm going to have to type it out. Real quick before I get to it, I just wanted to say that the Aztecs play tonight, Fresno State. We're going to have UCSD coach Eric Olin on our program. Looking forward to this. UCSD has been playing great basketball for quite some time. So he's coming on in about 20 minutes. Looking forward to that. But we will talk Aztecs later. We also have to take a little look ahead to the weekend because our second major professional sports franchise will begin its run. SDFC opens up in L.A. Sunday. That's right around the corner.
It is right around the
corner. So we might, we'll go to Tony for some soccer talk later.
I'm all for it.
Good.
I'm all for it.
All right, here we go. Where do you want me to start? You want me to start with the position players?
Go with the position players.
Camposano and Diaz will be the two catchers. Obviously, Sullivan and Maldonado will be competing for that, but my prediction would be Camposano and Diaz. Starting infield is Arise, Cronenworth, Bogarts, and Machado. Starting outfield, at least against right-handed pitching, Hayward, Merrill, and Tatis. That's 4-7-9 right there. Backups, Connor Joe, Yuli Gurriel, Tyler Wade, and the four spot, I think it's a coin flip. Eggy Rosario or Gavin Sheets. So I think there is a
which one are you going with?
I'll go with Eggy.
Okay.
I say Sheets like doesn't make it.
So you're at 13.
But you think Yuli Gurriel does?
I think Yuli Gurriel will make it, yeah. I think he's a guy. That's 13. Starting five on the rotation, I think it'll end up being Cease, King, Darvish, Pivetta, and Waldron. I understand that Hart, Vasquez, Brito will and may have something to say about that fifth spot. But I'm going Waldron. And my relievers.
That's 18.
All right. I've got eight left. I got Tony's like holding me accountable here. Suarez, Jason Adam, Estrada. We got some lefties in there. Morejon, Hideki Matsui, Wandy Peralta. I think Hoeing is their seventh reliever. I don't know about the eighth. There's a lot of candidates I know I got
to
make a decision.
To be fair, you said you could almost name your 26.
Yeah,
that's
it's
25
the
right
last
there.
Spot.
Don't give him any outs.
No, that's what he said.
I'll go Alec Jacob for the Alec final Jacob. Spot. Right.
They've shown him punching a few guys.
All right, so that's my 26.
But so who was left off on the position player part there?
Sheets, pretty much.
Sheets?
Sheets is...
Brousseau.
Let me see. I need to get a roster in front of me before I...
Terso or
Nellis? Terso or Nellis.
Sullivan.
Yep, Sullivan. Maldonado.
Maldonado, that's six.
Yeah, I mean, okay. There's other guys, obviously, and, you know, it's not...
Questions, great. You might be able to answer. Does Sheet sign a big league deal or a minor league deal?
Oh, that could be a factor.
That is a factor. I am not prepared to give you a definitive answer. I
Fair
will look
enough.
It up.
Fair enough.
I will look it up right now.
I know Gurriel signed a minor league deal.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
I'm feeling Gurriel makes it. Brandon Lockridge is another name.
Oh, yeah.
Lockridge
yeah.
is another
that is in
one.
The hunt. He's on the 40-man. So, and there's plenty of pitchers that I didn't mention. I didn't mention Sean Reynolds.
I think he gets in on the roster.
Well,
I think he's one of the relievers.
He might be the eighth guy instead of Alec Jacob. Steven Kolick's not in there, based on my predictions. Tom Cosgrove's always in. He's been there. Johnny Brito. Vasquez didn't make it.
Minor league deal.
Sheets.
Gavin Sheets, yes. Sheets. Okay. Minor
so
league deal.
It looks like, my guess, is Sheets and Gurriel will be competing for the same
spot.
Roster spot. Because right. they both do the same thing. Play a little first base, DH.
Yeah.
So... Same type guy.
I'll pick Rosario. I'll pick Gurriel. Sorry,
Gurriel. All right.
That's my 26. We'll see how close I get. I bet I'm in the hunt.
I tend to lean, I guess, guys that we might not know what they're capable of. You already know what Yuli Gurriel is capable of, right?
Yeah, I think he's been in the league, you know, different parts over the last 3 years. And he hasn't quite gotten back to that level that we saw.
No, he's not the Houston first baseman.
And he's 40 now. So
the World Series days.
Well, certainly, it's good to have the competition. You know, because for a minute there, we didn't even have guys that were competing at that point.
Grayal only got 54 at-bats, yeah, with Kansas City. Didn't do much.
I remember watching him at Kansas City. His bat is slowed a lot, so... We'll see. Although like I said, he homered off of King today, so maybe the bat is back to being youthful.
Jason Hayward was a move that I wasn't happy with, but the more I read about the guy, the more I like him, and the more I think that he is perfect for the clubhouse, maybe, and if he plays well, then that's great. But
I honestly don't know that this team now needs
the clubhouse guy?
Clubhouse guy, but I think he fills a good platoon card that they have set.
Where I also don't think he's going to mess up any chemistry.
Absolutely not.
Right?
Absolutely
not. So that's a good deal. He's a good professional guy.
He's a pro, for sure.
You know, I did mention that I don't know that I'm ready for 75% starts by Jason Hayward. You know, I think that he's going to have to do a little bit more than he did the last year or two to earn that much playing time.
I don't disagree.
But right now, it sets up that he would get more of the time because he's left-handed and there's more right-handed starters. We'll see. I mean, they've got some options now, and Mike Schilt is going to play the hot bat, I'm sure.
Right.
Just like any other smart manager would do. Do you think Eggie can start in left field and just beat them both out?
Well, I heard Mike say that he's going to extensively be given a shot in left field.
I know.
I have my questions in terms of how well he moves. I know once he gets to it, he'll be fine. It's just the routes.
Got to cover some ground.
Got to be able to defend that position. He's athletic enough to pull it off. We'll see. He's got a short period of time. I know he worked on it a little bit last year playing some outfield. So it's not like, you know, and Jackson is a rarity, but not like he's going on the fly like Jackson had to last
year. Even Jackson didn't take the right route the whole season. He was just athletic enough to make up for it a lot of times.
Right. I agree. So,
it's usually what they say about me in co-ed softball.
And it's not a good thing if they're saying that about you.
Why does everything
so athletic?
Why does everything, every single thing has to come back to you? Have you ever noticed that?
He's feeling himself. You know, he's doing an MC for a little league
up.
So he's definitely enjoying his celebrity right now a little bit.
Okay.
I just think it's so uncomfortable when you start reading.
The reason is because no one has ever said that my athleticism is too good, Chris. That's why the joke was made.
Understood. We understand that your athleticism
don't turn
is
red
not
on
good
us,
enough.
Man. You're fine.
It's hot in here.
Getting a little hotter.
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk some basketball, college style, with UCSD head coach Eric Olin. He's next. Talk about the big run that the Tritons are making right now. And get into that when we return on Gwen and Chris, or Gin and
Me. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Gwen and Chris, 235 at Scraby as well. Eric Olin, UCSD's head coach, basketball coach, will join us here shortly. They're having a tremendous season. Looking forward to chatting it up with him. Aztecs with a nice victory over the weekend and
bounced back
in a nice way too.
Yeah, well, you know, we were fortunate enough to have our guy on the program last week, Nick Boyd.
I heard.
And the one thing Nick said was, which everybody already knew, was we gotta like get out of the gate and
play
not
better.
Get behind by 20 points every game. And they took it to heart against Boise State, and then they just kept on going. I mean, their defense was incredible. I mean, Boise State scored 23 points with 12 minutes left in regulation.
Yeah.
They only had 23 points. I mean, and Boise State averages like 75, 80 a game. So, and what did the Aztecs block? 10 shots?
Yeah, it seemed like the right kind of win at the perfect time for
them. What they needed, yeah, for sure.
I did hear, though, you asked Nick Boyd about your favorite Aztec moment? How did that go?
He smiled and
smiled through the phone.
You could tell he seemed to handle it all right.
I mean, look.
I hate to tell you, but there's a picture right over my shoulder of Lamont Butler hitting the game-winning shot, and the guy reaching up to try to block the shot is Nick Boyd.
Yeah,
there's nothing that can be done about it. I mean, he's just he's on the good side now. That's all.
He had to know he's going to hear that question at least once when he decided to come leave it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So definitely once. Yeah. Maybe not on the radio, but definitely once. It was a good question. The way Chris frames it, he always frames it in a good way.
A playful manner.
I did not try to embarrass him.
No.
In fact, I tried to compliment him. I said he was the guy who made the first 3-point shot of that game. He opened the scoring.
Yes, he did.
In that game.
And then later That's on, all. You gave up the game-winning shot.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
If you're looking at the picture of him, he's in pretty good defensive position, so it's not like he's out of position.
No, it was a hell of a shot.
But it also is he's not getting to that shot.
No,
right?
He barely jumps.
he's not close enough to really contest
it.
I still remember when that shot went up, I thought it missed. And I think everybody thought it missed. Net.
The fact it hit the net shocked everyone.
It's like, oh my God, it went in!
Yeah. I mean, Jim Nance, I don't think, expected it at all.
No.
And it was in, so... Incredible. But Nick Boyd, Mark Ziegler said something that is very telling because he had been struggling, Nick Boyd, with his shot and with some of his offense. And when Ziegler was on with us, he said, look, there's no more important player on this team than Nick Boyd, though, regardless of, if he's struggling. And now he's not struggling anymore. He had a great game against Boise State, had a great second half against San Jose State. So he seems to have kind of returned to form. But he's the leader. He's the guy that keeps everybody up and going. And Magoon Gwath.
Man.
6 block shots.
They might as well call it the Magoon Gwath Award every week as opposed
he's
to...
He's won the Freshman of the Week Award. Yeah, Magoon is really coming around. And Tony, there aren't a lot of guys. You can think of a few at the NBA level. But there's not a lot of guys who can dominate a game with only 7 points scored.
Yeah.
And he dominated the game against Boise State because they couldn't get a shot. They just couldn't get a shot off on him. He was rejecting everything. So they have Fresno State tonight, and they this is the game that has been tripping them up. These games against the bottom of the league where they roll the ball out there and they're down 23-7 in the first half. So let's hope that they've learned their lesson.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard Scraby answering the phone really loudly over the air, but sounds like Coach Eric Olin is about to join us here shortly.
Yes.
And we can really talk about one of the
most...
Was
I really that loud?
Yes.
There's no other way for me to do it. There's no other way for me to do it.
I know there isn't, but I had to give you a hard time. Let's go to the phone lines. Coach Eric Olin joins us. University of UC San Diego joins us here, head coach of the basketball team. Coach Olin, how are you? Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Coach Olin, you guys are having a tremendous season this year. I mean, as you guys start to work in the summer to build towards the beginning of the season, what are your thoughts about your team going into that point? Because obviously you guys spend a lot of time over the summer getting prepared for the season into the fall. How did you feel about this team before the season started?
Yeah, we felt really good. We knew we had 3 really good players coming back, which this day and age in college basketball is pretty good. You just appreciate the ones you can keep. So we knew we had a good core coming back. We were excited about the guys that we had coming in. We felt like we had the right guys, that we felt like our fit was good. You always kind of have this idea of how things are going to work, and it's never exactly that. It's always a little different, and you got to get on the court to sort it out. But we felt like we had the right combination of skill sets and players, and it was just going to be, well, how quickly can we have it sort of gel and guys come together, and how quickly can we really start to play, close to what we're capable of. And, so we were confident in the potential. And then I think we've just been fortunate that it all sort of clicked pretty quickly. And you could feel pretty early on that, the way they play, the way their sort of natural inclinations to share the basketball, their just overall decision-making, their collective IQ all just really fit well together. And so we knew we had a pretty good team as early as this summer, for sure.
Eric Olin has been at UC San Diego for many years here. In fact, you know, you look at the 2020 season, 30-1 record that year, and then we know what happened in 2020 with COVID. But after that, Coach, you went to the Big West Conference with the eye towards, you know, being Division I eventually and full-time. What did you do differently with your program, you know, starting at that time to build up to where you guys are now, you know, ready to, you know, get into the NCAA tournament here in your first year eligible?
Yeah, you know, the first couple years, well, the first year was sort of the post-COVID year. I think we played like 15 or 17 basketball games,
yeah.
Just pretty abbreviated season. We had some players who decided not to play with all the things, you know, so that year was just sort of the survival for everybody and kind of keeping the things moving. And then from there in the next 2 years, I thought we really learned a lot about the conference. You know, we learned a lot about, you know, our core concepts are not that much different than what we were doing at Division II, but we've had to make some adjustments on the margins on both sides of the ball. And I think that those next two seasons, the first two full seasons in the Big West, we learned a lot about the league, the opponents, what are the things that we're doing that we want to keep and build on and be real kind of pillars of how we play the game. And then what are the things that we maybe need to tweak in order to be more competitive against the teams in the league? You know, some of that's how do we do a better job on the glass, right? Like UC Irvine's been kind of the standard in the Big West. They play two bigs, huge front court, do a great job on the glass. Some of the other league has kind of followed along because of their success. So now the league is pretty big. We play more small, five out. How do we survive on the glass? What are some adjustments we can make that can not change everything we're doing, but just sort of fix or problem solve disadvantages? And I think the 2 years in the league, we sort of figured some of that out. It's been a little bit of an evolution, and I think we continue to progress there, and I think you're seeing some of that now in the last 2 years.
Coach Eric Olin joins us, UCSD Tritons men's basketball coach. And Coach Olin, you talked about the 2 years that you guys kind of had to learn the ins and outs of the Big West. It's one thing to learn and be able to take notes, but how difficult is it to then apply those things, and how easy or tough has it been to get the guys to buy into those things that you're trying to implement that are a little bit of a change from what you were doing before?
Yeah, well, so fortunately for us, we've got the right guys in the room, and I think that stuff starts with the right people, right? Mm. If you identify guys who kind of want to play the game the way we think about it in terms of unselfishly move the ball, just make the right play, take the right shot. Shot selection's important. Taking care of the ball is important. You know, if you value those things, you think about the way that we think about it, like then we're on the same page when you walk in the door. Mm. All that buy-in is so much easier, right? We're going to get to that so much sooner because we have common ground in just how we think about and talk about. So we really try to learn about them and how they think about it and want to play the game. In the recruiting and evaluation process, you know, and we'll sit down and watch film with them and say like, hey, here are the things that you're doing that translate directly to what we do. We want you to do more of this when you get here. And then here's some things that maybe you're doing now that we don't think translate, and we're going to ask you to do less of or none of, right? And if they're open to that prior to coming here, then we feel good about where we're going to get to from a buy-in standpoint. And then that process leads us to the type of team that we have now where, you know, we're smart, we're skilled, we're super unselfish. This is probably the best passing team I've ever been around. And, you know, I think that's part of why, you know, we certainly feel like we're sort of collectively greater than the sum of our parts because everybody fits really well. They're really self-aware. They know what their strengths are. They try to help their teammates get into positions of strength. And we don't beat ourselves. You know, we control a lot of things that we can control.
Yeah, you see, San Diego's 22-4, right? I mean, it's going okay, Coach. And I want to just go back. You guys had won 12 in a row, and then in early January, you hosted UC Irvine, and that was like the first big one, right? Everybody was into it, first place, the whole thing, and they were able to beat you that day. But now you come back, you've won 7 in a row, and in the return game up in Irvine a couple of weeks ago, you beat them handily by 18. I mean, you got to feel good about where you guys are, you know, coming up right now. I mean, this is the, as they say, February into March is when you want to be playing your best. Sounds like you are.
Yeah, I do think we're playing really well. I think, you know, Irvine's really well coached, really talented team. They're certainly at the top of this league pretty consistently. So we knew that was going to be a challenge coming in. I thought they had a good plan. They forced us into some things in the first matchup that we weren't as comfortable with. You know, but it's something we learn from, and that's, you know, that's part of being a good team is continuing to get better. And this is a copycat type of thing, right? So once Irvine found something that worked a little bit against us, and, you know, we didn't shoot the ball as well, they dictated some of the shots that we weren't as comfortable with, right? Then everyone else starts trying to do the same thing. And so we find a comfort in that because we're seeing it consistently for a few games in a row. So when we cycle back to Irvine 6-7 games later, our comfort level with how to attack certain coverages or where shots are coming from against different defenses is significantly higher. And as a result, we kind of shoot the ball. We shoot the ball a little better. We play better offensively and, you know, create some separation in that one. But a similar thing, like the game before we played Irvine, we played UC Riverside, who's the other team that beat us in the conference with similar type scheme. And so then, like, having that success against them just gives those guys confidence that, you know, we understand how to attack different things. And, you know, this is a smart group and we're playing really good basketball, but the exciting thing for us is that there are still some areas we can improve and continue to get better on the margins. And so we don't feel like we've actually found our best basketball yet. We're going to keep pursuing that. And hopefully that sort of lines up with, you know, a few weeks from now.
Speaking of which, Coach, 6 games to go left in the regular season. You talked about improving on the margins. Where are some of those areas you want to see your ball club improve on as you guys come down the stretch run here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things in terms of, you know, some of the stuff on the glass is something that's always an area where we can improve. We're not the biggest team. We're not the most athletic team. But both sides of the ball, I mean, in games where we've had less success, we have been hurt on the defense, on opponent offensive rebounding. So big emphasis there for us always. Our own offensive rebounding is an area where we could do a little bit better. I always feel like we can improve in terms of taking care of the ball, although we're pretty good there. We're also disruptive defensively. Like, I think we have the best turnover margin in the country right now. So that's another strength for us. But it's really just some of the little things in how versus different coverages, there's like multiple solutions to how we might score, and we need different answers based on what's the coverage, what's the opponent personnel, which of our personnel is in different actions, and being able to apply different solutions throughout games, throughout possessions with different lineups. That's the sort of detailed margin improvement that you might not notice if you're not really paying attention. But I think those are like the kind of the nuances of the game that you can really kind of steal a possession or two or get an easy basket if you can execute it a little better. And so those are the little things that we're, you know, watching individual film with guys and just trying to help them execute on time. And, you know, when things sort of line up, it's fun to watch.
UCSD is home Saturday, take on Hawaii at the Lion Tree Arena there on the campus of UC San Diego. If you haven't seen these guys play, 7 o'clock Saturday night might be a good idea for some of you basketball fans. Go out and check these guys out before they hopefully head into the NCAAs. That's what I'm thinking. Coach, I know that's what you're thinking. And I know what everybody else is thinking. How would you guys do against the Aztecs if you played them now? I'm trying to think of a good way to ask you that without pinning you into a corner, but people kind of have been wondering, you know, who's got the best team right now, and you guys have been playing so well.
Well, I think that's a credit to our guys that people are asking that question. You know, they're a great program and a great team, and they're having their own really good season. So just the fact that people are even asking that is a real compliment to the kind of basketball that we're playing.
No doubt about it. Coach, certainly appreciate your time coming on, man. Good luck the rest of the way. You got the city behind you at this point, and we're hoping nothing but the best for you guys.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we have felt that support. And San Diego is a great basketball community, and I think one that will support more than just the Aztecs. And so, you know, we just feel like if we keep playing good basketball, that'll just continue and build. So we're excited about what's going on and even more excited about what's to come.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Coach Olin. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
I think Coach Olin is spot on. This is a city that right now only has, well, soon two major sporting teams, but for now, one.
College is, you know, there's room.
There's 100% room.
Right.
I mean, we got a bunch of universities here. We haven't had too many times where multiple universities are thriving from a sports setting at the same exact time. Should be a lot of fun down the stretch.
I'm hoping, honestly, that we get both these teams into the March Madness. And you look at Joe Lenardi's bracket right now, Tony. He's got UCSD as an automatic qualifier because they're in first place. He's got him as an 11 seed, which is not the bottom, right? I mean, 11 is okay. And the Aztecs, as an at-large team, would be an 11 seed as well. So both teams are kind of there, you know? And obviously, if they win their conference tournaments, they're in. But we're talking about if for some reason they don't. These two teams can still both get there, and that would be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. They did open the season against each other. The Aztecs won only by 5. Why a lot of people are thinking, well, if they played right now, who knows?
Has anybody ever, or has San Diego ever seen two teams in the tournament at once?
Like, I don't think so. USD got there a few times, but I don't think ever in the same year as the Aztecs got there.
That would be cool to have two teams.
Yeah. Why not?
Should happen. All right. Let's...
Sorry.
You got something you want to say, Scrape?
No. You said something, and I thought I heard something else. I thought I heard a swear word. You said S happens.
No, I did not say S happens.
Sorry, my bad.
I said,
I'm a child.
Let's step away and get ready for the second hour of Gwen and Chris. On the other side, more Gwen and Chris.
I like it.
Okay.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.